You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM on this rather chilly Friday morning in Chicago. I guess the respite we've had with the warm weather is officially over. Good morning. I'm Wayne Majors from Loyola University. And for the program this morning, Father Greg Sakowitz is tied up with ministerial duties over at St. Mary's at Evanston. So we're flying solo on this Feast of Juan Diego, December 9th, 2011. Hope all is going well for all of you, and we welcome you into the program. Religious women and men have been serving in a variety of ministries throughout not only the Archdiocese of Chicago, but throughout the world for centuries, literally. They teach, they work in hospitals, they minister to the poor, feed the hungry, and run a variety of institutions under Catholic sponsorship. Last year, the Archdiocese of Chicago collected over $1 million for this fund that is run through the organization called the Retirement Fund for Religious. The need is great. By 2019, it is projected that retired religious may outnumber wage-earning religious by 4 to 1. And since 1988, over $607 million has been dispersed to religious institutes through grants and direct care and other forms of support for their senior members. This weekend at all the Masses, we'll have an opportunity throughout the Archdiocese to say thank you when we take up the annual Retirement Fund for Religious at all parish Masses. The fund assists congregations of women and men in their effort to care for aging priests, sisters, and brothers. And we'll talk about this fund today and specifically how it impacts the lives of two religious congregations who have been active in the Archdiocese of Chicago for many years. We welcome into the program Father Bernie Siena, who is the provincial of the Midwest Augustinian province of our Mother of Good Counsel, founded in the early 1940s. The Augustinians with a very rich history in Chicago. Father Bernie, welcome into the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Wayne. It's great to be here.
Let's, maybe for our listeners who aren't familiar, let's begin by asking you to give us a little bit of the idea of the size and scope and the kinds of ministries that your order is involved in.
Sure. Our Midwest province, under the patroness of our Mother of Good Counsel, we have 84 members in our congregation in our province right now. And we continue to serve in schools and parishes. In the Chicago area, we serve in St. Rita High School, which I'm a graduate of, Providence High School out in New Lenox, Illinois, Cassia Hall, a prep school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I served for 13 years as the headmaster. And after this show, I'll be heading down to Oklahoma, where the Cassia Hall Commandos are participating in the state football finals tonight. Okay. So hopefully they'll do well there and carry on a great tradition. And Villanova College in Toronto, where those are the four schools. So there's a new school starting, trying to start in Detroit, where we were once were before. So those are our schools. Parishes in St. Rita in Chicago, St. Terribius we just took on with in cooperation with the Archdiocese. In Joliet area, our Mother Good Counsel and St. Jude's, and we have parishes in Michigan and Wisconsin. So that's kind of the scope of my jurisdiction. In the Midwest.
And so primarily education-related, and then parishes as well.
But sure, education has been our stronghold for centuries. Certainly in this country, we have Villanova University. I serve as a board member there, and Merrimack College out in Massachusetts. But around the world, we have educational centers at all different levels of education, and we've been part of that in the great tradition of our spiritual founder, St. Augustine himself.
Sure. Now, as provincial, you need to balance a lot in your leadership role. Talk a little bit about the manpower that is currently available, given the ministries that you serve, and how that has really led to some of the challenges in managing those who are retired within the province.
Sure. The personnel challenges are great. I think not only for the Augustinians, but probably for all religious communities. We certainly are down in our numbers over the years, but we continue to work hard to serve in the positions that I mentioned in the schools and the parishes and other special ministries. But many of our guys are getting older. I'm amazed at the energy and enthusiasm that men in our 70s, 80s, and even 90s who continue to work, serving in parishes, working on the weekends, saying masses. But as far as the actual wage earners for the province, as you mentioned in your introduction, it is going down. And it is a difficult thing then to balance the workings of the province when your wage earners are down. And so we continue to work hard to fundraise, to promote that, to tell people our story, to tell people about the good people who taught them and served them in schools and parishes, and hopefully they'll give back not only to the religious collection this weekend, which is a national collection, for which some of our men were the poster childs for this collection, but also individually to the Augustinians or to whatever religious community they have a connection to.
And clearly the most fertile ground for that, Father Bernie, is those who have been touched by your work in the past, either through as a student at one of the schools or as a parishioner at one of the parishes, getting to those folks really underscoring the importance of supporting their religious communities, be it the Augustinians or anyone else that's involved in this fund, because they have given so much, and now it's time for those who receive to give back, right?
That's correct. And certainly the Augustinians have been giving not only since the province was formed in 1941, but since 1905 when we came and founded St. Rita High School and St. Rita Parish, our two oldest institutions in the Midwest province, while we were still under the jurisdiction of the Villanova, Philadelphia province. So for over 100 years, the Augustinians have served in the Archdiocese and throughout the Midwest, and I believe have really influenced and left hopefully a positive spiritual imprint on the hearts and minds of so many people.
Give us a sense of the numbers currently within your province of those who are retired versus those who are active in ministry.
Well, of the 84, we probably have about close to 40 now who are in some type of retirement. Like I said, some of them are still working and bringing in, you know, some stipends, mm-hmm. but almost 50% now are receiving some subsidy from the province in order to have a healthy and happy retirement.
And how are those friars cared for? Within your community, various ways.
Yes, the NRRO, the National Religious Retirement Organization, actually helped us the last few years to come up with a program to evaluate our aging process and the way we care for our elder friars. And it was a wonderful process. And what we decided to do is to interview each friar and to talk about their issues. Everyone agrees that we want to age in place. That means in an active community and care for them in an active community, one of our schools or parishes, as long as possible, as long as feasible. Sure. When we can't, in the past we would send them out to different nursing homes. But what we heard from our men is that they were then not in a community. They were missing what they really had been participating and vowed to for their life, to have morning prayer, Eucharist, community time, see their brothers. And they didn't have that when they were being farmed out to different religious, not religious, but just any nursing home. Yeah. Then we decided to have them in our center house in Olympia Fields, and there was a big problem with that because bringing in nursing care 24/7 is quite expensive and just quite frankly not feasible. Yeah. So we made a decision at our last chapter when I took office to move to Franciscan Village in Lamont.
Sure.
And we formed a canonical community of healthy younger men than the ones who are being cared for. And they formed the core community. And then from there, we have men in assisted living, skilled care, Alzheimer's units, all the way through hospice and then through death that are participating in a community, and they are very happy and healthy and cared for.
So they've retained the community, and in some ways, they're adding to the fabric of the community that's there, the broader community.
When I go to visit them once a month, I'm delighted to hear from so many people, lay people and the Franciscans also there, that they're very happy that the Augustinian community is there. They've made their imprint. They actually continue to do some ministry there as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful match. We're talking with Father Bernie Sienna, who is the provincial for the Midwestern Augustinian province of our Mother of Good Counsel. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:09 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back, 9:12 on a chilly Friday morning in Chicago. Wayne Magyar is with you on Catholic Community of Faith. Father Bernie Sienna is a guest this morning. He is the provincial of the Midwest Augustinian province of our Mother of Good Counsel. And provincials have tough jobs, Father Bernie.
Correct.
no argument there, right? No. We were talking... talking during the break, you made the comment that so many of your men, even in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, remain active and actively contributing to various ministries throughout the province. And I smiled because I recall a BVM sister that till today works at the university at 92, 93 years old, and I'll see her on the street at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll say, "Sister Jean, aren't you home yet?" She says, "No, I have one more meeting before the day ends." She is an amazing woman, and that's really a testimony to the love of the ministry that I'm sure you see within your guys as well.
Absolutely, a great love for the order, for their ministry, for their service, and that's their life. That's what they've given their life for, and you know, so for that to be taken away from them just because they might not be able to work full time or might be limited in some capacity. You know, we're not going to do that. As long as they want to work and they have that passion and can function, we encourage it.
Among the laundry list of challenges that provincials face is keeping the charism and the mission alive in various institutions and ministries with declining numbers. Tell us about how you've managed to address that in your role as provincial for the Augustinians.
Sure. In our schools, particularly about 10 years ago, we had been talking about getting the laity more involved in leadership positions for the future and how to share our charism. And so about 8 years ago, we started what we call the Augustinian Values Institute. And that has become not only a national program, but an international program where teachers, faculty members, staff, board members have come together in one of our schools and learn more about the Augustinian charism and heritage and values so that they can bring that back to the schools around the country and around the world, and prepare them for leadership positions when religious, quite frankly, will not be able to do them. But in order to keep a presence there, we're delighted to have people who still want to teach, who still do campus ministry, but work in collaboration with the laity so that our schools can continue well into the future with an effective Augustinian presence and hopefully some Augustinian friars, priests and brothers, and hopefully some new vocations coming up. but also to know that we can't do it alone anymore. The days of having 30 or 40 Augustinian priests and brothers in a school are over.
Yeah, and even the high schools that we went to, the numbers of men religious present in the 20s and 30s, in the 70s and 80s, now down to single digits and less than five in some cases, is a real challenge that that I know a number of religious organizations have been struggling with for years in engaging the laity in meaningful ways to keep that charism alive. How else in your leadership role, looking at the future, or tell me some of the other things that you look at in planning for the futures of not only this province, but the charism of the Augustinians going forward in the various ministries.
Well, I think, you know, we have to look at the whole picture for the province, and we're involved in a process now of strategic planning and looking at ways in which we can continue to have an effective presence. We talked about some ways in which we can do that in collaboration with the laity in our schools. It's a bit more difficult in our parishes, because if you don't have a pastor, it's hard to run a parish. But we also looking at ways in which we are going to promote vocations. We're looking at financial stability and ways in which we cut overhead, you know, that we unfortunately might have to let go of some buildings that have served us well, but quite frankly don't serve the mission anymore. Our center house in Olympia Fields, you know, we pulled out of that because it was draining us financially. And so, you know, financially, apostolic work, and then I think vocations, you know, promoting vocations and telling people really realistically that we are, you know, going to be smaller in number, but we're still going to be a powerful influence in our schools and our parishes, and to encourage young men to look at what I believe is a gift to the church in religious life, in our particular charism of community, and sharing with these young men who are interested in joining this sense of community, this sense of education, this sense of St. Augustine spirituality, and being able to promote that. I have found in the recent days, under our direction of our vocation director, Father Tom McCarthy, who's also the president of St. Reed High School, that there's an interest and there is an uptick in vocations.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that many religious orders, I think, have done masterfully is, despite all the challenges of declining numbers, they've always put as number one on their list the need to figure out a way to continue those ministries.
Yes.
And even if it involves, as we were talking before the program, some very tough decisions about the relocation of the members, the downsizing of communities, the different a different living environment for the communities, those decisions are really selfless ones that, while they impact the lives of the members, really free up resources to keep the ministries alive that really serve the Catholic faithful. And for that, you know, as provincial, you've got a lot of challenges, and you're to be commended, because it's keeping your eye on the ball in many cases.
That's right, keeping the mission as the focus and the needs of the church. We are called as a religious community to go where the church needs us, and we believe, and in working with the bishops in the diocese in which we serve, that they see a value for what we're doing in our schools and parishes and other ministries, and you know, if that need doesn't continue, then we move on to what else we might be called to. We need to be open to those challenges.
Now, in addition to Chicago, the Augustinians also do a lot of work in Peru as well, right?
Yes, our missions are in Peru. In the 1960s, Pope John the 23rd asked religious communities to go out around the world. We were asked to go to Chulucanas, Peru. The bishop that ordained me, Bishop McNabb, was the first bishop of Chulucanas, Peru. And the current bishop down there is also an Augustinian, Bishop Dan Turley. So as provincial, I go down there at least a couple of times a year, and I'm amazed at the faith down there, the simplicity of the faith in a very positive way, I mean that. The people who have so little, the poorest of the poor, and our community is serving them.
Is that close to Lima at all?
We actually fly into Lima, but we're in northern Peru, so northern most of our communities are actually closer to Ecuador. Mm. I've been hearing about Peru since I was a high school student at St. Reed, and we would take the mission collections every week, and you often wondered, where is this money going to? I can assure people who give or have given to that mission collection that it is going to the poorest of the poor, and our people do similar things down there. They run parishes, they help in schools, but they also go out into the campos, into the mountains, into the jungles, into the deserts, and feed the poor and take care and bring medical attention. And
you're a great exactly work. Right. Anyone who has any doubts, I was fortunate enough to go on a a trip to Lima and visit a lot of those areas about 8 years ago. And there's no question, if there was any doubt in any of our group's mind, and there were about 30 of us who went, it was completely put to rest after that, because there is great need.
Absolutely. And we continue to support our missionaries down there from the province who are down there. But I must say, it's very important that when we first went down there, there were 24 or 25 North Americans. Now there are 4 or 5. Yeah. But we have 24 native Peruvian Augustinians down there. And that's the goal of a mission, is to set up the church and to educate a native clergy. And we're doing that. And we also have 42 men studying in our seminary down there. I wish we had that here as well.
That's terrific. Father Bernie Siena is my guest. He is the provincial of the Midwest Augustinian province of our Mother of Good Counsel. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The Department of Stewardship and Development of the Archdiocese of Chicago is considering a campaign to address specific education priorities of our Catholic schools, religious education programs, and Mundelein Seminary. Our stewardship and development team is looking for your input to help guide the effort. So you're asked to go to the Archdiocesan website, www.archchicago.org, and you will find a link to an online survey. It'll take just a couple of minutes to do this anonymous survey. Your opinion is very important and valuable to us. Again, the website is www.archchicago.org. The link to the survey is prominently displayed on the homepage. And thanks for your time and your input. 9:23 in the morning, Father Bernie Siena, the provincial of the Midwest Augustinian province of our Mother of Good Counsel, is with us this morning. And Father Bernie, we've touched upon not only the work of your men in your province historically into the future, but we've also touched a little bit about vocations. Tell us what you're doing with your colleagues and brothers in the Augustinians to really nurture vocations going forward.
Yes, I believe as provincial, my number one priority has to be vocations. And I made that clear at my installation. My classmate, Father Tom McCarthy, who is also the president of St. Rita, is the vocation director. And he continues to work with a team of friars across the province to invite young men to look at our ministries, at our life together and community. And I think that our young people find the community aspect of religious life very attractive, that coming together as brothers and then living together, praying together, and then working together is a very attractive thing in this day and age when, you know, things are so scattered and people are looking for a sense of belonging. I believe God still calls young men and young women to religious life, and I think that we need to continue to nurture and nourish that. The ways I think it happens, and certainly has happened for me, is through good families, through good communities, whether that's schools or parishes, and promoting a culture of vocations. My mom and dad, raising five boys, sending them to St. Stephen Grammar School, which is now closed but is now Cristo Rey High School, and then sending us to St. Rita High School, provided a great base. I believe my mom and dad are probably listening today, so hello to them. And then to the sisters and priests at St. Stephen. They were Franciscan sisters, and the sisters still run Mount Assisi, the Franciscan, Slovenian Franciscans out in Lamont. The religious communities were certainly influential in my life.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
And I think that's why when I was looking at priesthood, I joined a religious community, and the Augustinians were the ones who invited me at St. Rita and then on to Villanova. But good families, good schools, good parishes need to continue to say we need good leadership for the future. And if we're going to be able to continue this good work, not only as Augustinians, but other religious and the church in general, we need to get young people in to the vocations. We have been seeing an uptick. We now have 8 young men in formation, and they are very enthused. I believe once you get a core group like that, they will attract others, and we can continue
because,
to build.
Because they become mentors, and they become examples and role models, and that was so important 30, 40, 50 years ago when vocations were blossoming, because a young man or a young woman was moved because they met someone who really influenced them in their life. And as the number of religious and diocesan declines, that becomes more challenging.
That's right. And I think still when we talk about the elder friars too, they can still be influential, and their presence at events and in parishes and in our schools continue to say, invite young men and women to look at God's call to religious life, to priesthood, to the diaconate. And I think I do think that we're going to see a decline in the numbers across the board. We have seen it. We will continue to see it. It will level off. And then I think it's time to reshape and regroup and invite people into a new age and a new sense of who we are as religious in this country.
Before we finish this morning, the Retirement Fund for Religious collection is coming up this weekend at all the masses. Give us a minute on how that fund has really benefited your community over the years.
Yes, we've participated in this program over the year, and the NRRO gives us an annual subsidy from that collection. We're very grateful for that. What they give us covers about 1.5 of my retired guys, and I have close to 40.
38.5 to go.
So so we need to continue. We're very grateful for that. We're grateful for all of the publications, the stories they've done for us in the NRO publications. But we need to continue our own annual fund, which we're doing under the direction of our new advancement director. And I would call upon those who have been influenced by the Augustinians at St. Rita, at Mendel, at Augustinian Academy, Casha Hall, St. Jude, all of our parish and schools, those even those that are closed, like Mendel, to think about the Augustinians who have had a positive influence and to give, to look at our website, MidwestAugustinians.org, or to contact our advancement director, Michael Garrity, at augadvancement, so augadvmw, at gmail.com.
Okay, once more, in case someone missed that, the
augadvmw, so augadvance, so augadvmw, at gmail.com, or 773-595-4035. That's 773-595-4035, or our website, MidwestAugustinians.org.
Perfect. Well, good luck to you, and God bless in your leadership role. The Augustinians provincials have tough jobs at any time, and especially in these times when you deal with all of the issues related to not only declining numbers, but the limited resources in keeping your ministries going. So our very best, and God bless to you. Thanks for being with us this morning. Continued success, and we'll pray for a good result for Sunday's collection so that not only the Augustinians, but many other religious communities benefit well.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Father Bernie Sienna has been my guest. He is the provincial of the Midwest Augustinian province of our Mother of Council, of Good Counsel. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic community of faith.
And welcome back. Chilly Friday morning in Chicago, 931 on the Feast of Juan Diego. And for those of you who don't know the story, you should check it out. There are a lot of terrific accounts versions of his story. This man born in 1474, walking 15 miles to daily mass in what is now Mexico City, and one morning when he passed Tepeyac Hill, heard music, had a vision of Our Lady, and exchanged with the bishop, a conversation, came back with proof of the lady's identity. And I won't give away the story if you don't know it, but there's a lot of accounts and stories about Blessed St. Juan Diego on various websites, so I'd encourage you to read it on this, his feast day. And we continue with the program this morning, talking about the orders that really benefit and how the impact of what's going to be happening at all the masses this weekend, a second collection for the National Religious Retirement Office, can help a variety of religious congregations doing work throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago in really helping the increasing numbers of retired religious as part of those various communities. In addition to some of the things we were talking about with Father Sienna earlier today, there is also something called a Planning and Implementation Assistance Program that really helps congregation members help in finding grant money and in developing a cohesive planning process, really going forward as they look at the future of their congregations. Over about a 12 to 18 month period, the major superior, the treasurer, the retirement director of each participating institute work with NRRO-trained consultants to identify their retirement funding challenges and really start to develop strategies to address some of those deficits. Joining us for this section of the program is Sister Barbara Mass, who is a member of the Sisters of the Living Word. The Sisters of Living Word minister in 11 states and 12 dioceses. They recently entered this process with the NRRO and are going through the implementation and assistance program. So I want to talk about that today, as well as some of the other things, so we can learn as much as we can about the Sisters of the Living Word. So Sister Mass, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell us maybe, for those who may not be familiar with your order, kind of the scope of what you do and a little bit about your community here.
Well, our community was founded in 1975. We broke off of another community.
So pretty young.
We're pretty young when you look at religious life, right? We were all educators at the time, and since then we've moved into many different kinds of things. We still have people who are educating, are educators. We have principals. We have an art therapist. We have a massage therapist. We work in the parishes with the elderly, or parish programs, the religious education programs, do scripture classes and prayer groups, and chaplains and hospice work. So we're in very many variety of works, a lot of direct service to the poor, microfinancing, all kinds of things like that. Housing, we have one sister who is working with the Faith Community Homes in Arlington Heights, which provides housing and then helps mentor people over a period of a couple years.
How big is your community here?
Our community is 64 members.
Okay.
and our average age, our median age, is 74.
Okay. So of those 64, how many are would you say in the retirement list, and how many are still active in ministries?
We have 39% of us are wage earners, either okay. full-time or part-time wage earners.
Okay. Okay. So that is pretty close to what is being predicted as far as some of the data that the national organization is looking at, that by 2019, about four to one is going to be the going to be the ratio.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how this new planning and implementation program has really begun to work within your congregation.
Well, our leadership team members, two of the members of our team and our finance director, were at a workshop earlier last year. And we've so far gone through a site visit with people who are coming in from the healthcare area, from development, and looking at our finances and trying to do some initial work of looking at where we are. This weekend, our leadership team is working with a finance group and a development group, and again doing some more strategic planning. So we're really in the beginnings of the strategic plannings. We've had a second grant from NRRO, which we've used to do some education things last July when we had our assembly. We had a whole day talking about the spirituality of aging and how that can look at very many different ways of how we can help each other, how we can help ourselves become better aged members.
You know, one of the components of this that Father Bernie brought up in the earlier program was one of the challenges that he faces as provincial, and I'm sure you see it as well in your congregation, is how important it is in the aging process of doing aging in place and not necessarily dispersing members of the community one by one as they really reach the point where they are retired and need additional assistance, but finding ways to form those retirement communities, if you will, somewhere else. Are you seeing that in your order as well?
Well, that's the way we've gone, because we don't have a facility. Because we're so small and because we're so young, we didn't have a facility in mind. So what we focused on was aging in place. The community where I live is two apartments, and there are six of us. There was seven at one point. The sisters there are aging in place. As they become more fragile, we need to move them out. But what we've done is taken care of the facility so that the facility is good for them. And we've also had healthcare people come in segments to help us with cooking and cleaning, and the sisters with their personal care. But that can only go for so long, and then we do need to look for a facility where the sisters can go. And what we now have, we worked very hard with the sisters in this area and helped to fund Resurrection Life Center, where our sisters are being placed.
Okay, so that's part of the planning process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that looking toward the future as part of this grant from the NRRO. What about vocations in all of this? How does that play into your strategic planning process?
Well, we're very concerned about vocations. Okay, we have one woman with us now who is in our candidacy program, so she's just beginning with us. And we're trying to work on our website and also do other kinds of things that will make us more visible. We have a vocation team that are working on new membership team that are working on various ways in which we can put ourselves out there and get in contact with young women to help them to discern.
In your work so far with the NRRO, is it any sense, and this is more of a curiosity question on my part, any sense that being a younger order, you're really setting the congregation up for being in a better position long term to deal with a lot of issues related to the retirement of your community and planning for aging members than some of the more longer established orders who have far greater numbers, far greater gaps to fill, if you will. Any sense of that coming up?
Well, I was talking with one of the leadership persons last evening, and she kind of mentioned that when we started out, our medium age was, I think it was like 36 or 37, which was practically unheard of in religious life, yeah. even at that time in 75. And so we almost had to keep telling ourselves we need to look at our funds, make sure we're taking care of those, put funds aside for retirement. And now that we're all getting to that, getting closer to that, we have to begin doing a little different kinds of thinking and planning and hoping and, you know, put aside some of our funds towards that.
Yeah. And with limited resources all around, how do you, in addition to the NRRO, any other strategies that you're using to for fundraising for the order?
Well, we have a Mardi Gras event coming up in February. So we do fundraisers. We do solicitations. There's a solicitation going out to our mailing database shortly. And so those focus on our sisters who are not retired necessarily, but sisters who are working and doing volunteer work to just keep people aware that we don't look at retirement as something we are moving towards, but retirement is part of what we have to plan
it's
for.
It's just the next stage in contributing to the ministry another way, right?
That's right.
As a associate pastor at the Holy Name Cathedral said once when he's retiring, he said, it really doesn't mean much. I'm just moving from one column on the bulletin to the other.
Yeah, right.
9:41 in the morning, we're talking with Sister Barbara Mass, who is a member of the Sisters of the Living Word. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back, 9:43 on a Monday morning. The Department of Stewardship and Development of the Archdiocese of Chicago is considering a campaign to address specific educational priorities of our Catholic schools, religious education programs, and Mundelein Seminary. The Stewardship and Development team is looking for your input to help guide this effort. So if you can, please go to the Archdiocesan website. It's www.archchicago.org. You'll find a link to an online survey. It'll only take you a couple of minutes, and your opinion is very important to us, and thanks for your help. The website again, www.archchicago.org, and the link to the survey is prominently displayed on the homepage. Welcome back to Sister Barbara Mass, who is a member of the Sisters of the Living Word, and one of the many congregations that benefit from this Sunday's second collection for the National Religious Retirement Office. And Sister Barbara, during the break, we were talking about the fact that the Sisters of the Living Word have participated with the NRRO now for quite some time. Give us an idea of some of the things that the proceeds from the NRRO collection mm-hmm. do and how they help specifically your congregation.
Okay. Well, in the beginning, when we first moved into asking for the grant, the supporting grant for our retirement, we weren't using it. We were putting it aside because we didn't have elderly at that point or retired people. But in the recent past, that we get a grant of about $40,000 a year from the organization, from the collection, and that's been used obviously for support for paying for the doctor bills and sisters living in nursing homes, etc. But we've also rehabbed one of the apartments where I live to make it more compatible for people who are in retirement. We've used it in a couple of our other buildings to do the same kinds of things in bathrooms and furnishings, and so that chairlifts, so that people can get around in those buildings. So it's been used for both the physical needs of sisters and for the accoutrements that have to go with
that. You know, retirement planning is never something any of us want to mm-hmm. talk about or mm-hmm. really get roll up our sleeves and get engaged mm-hmm. and get messy with. But I would imagine, and tell me if I'm off base on this, I would imagine, though, that for a religious community like the Sisters of the Living Word or any other very closely community-based religious order, that there's a vested interest by all the members to jump in and preserve community, preserve the ministries, preserve the charism, and that must help, I would imagine, in the strategic planning mm-hmm. process. Said another way, you probably have no shortage of opinions on where to go with the strategic plan, right?
You're right. Yes, and you know, some of us want to look at it and we'll look at it realistically that we do need to do this kind of thing. And others of us is in any walk of life are not really happy to look at this. I want to work till my boots fall off or whatever. And yet all of us have to face the fact that we are aging and that we need to take care of each other. And that's a really important piece of our conversations as we look at this strategic planning. It is important for us to look at that, but we also don't want to get lost in that, because what we're about is about mission. I was just at a meeting the other day, and we were talking about working with the immigrant issue and how immigration issue and how we can do that across the community and how we can get our sisters excited about doing it. And so it's you've got these two pieces where, you know, what we are about is about mission, but what we also need to be able to do is take care of ourselves so that the mission can go on.
Right, keeping that charism alive, which mm-hmm. we've talked about before, and how, in addition to your internal planning and dialogue and attention to that, how else does it happen in collaborations with the laity and mm-hmm. others to be sure that the mission and identity of the sisters continues?
When we were founded in 75, I think about 3 years after we were founded, some men and women who knew us were already asking us, what are you doing about an associate program? What are you doing about us learning about your charism, your mission, and us being involved in that? And so we've had men and women with us all the way along, and we still do have 120 associate members who do mission in various kinds of ways. Some more active, some a little less active way, but people who are really taking the Living Word mission to their ministries, their work, their families, and to other people. So
give us an example on how those associates might come involved. I mean, on your website, for example, it talks about some of your current projects as being projects like Dismantling Racism, the Peace Prayer, Project Irene, Peace Initiatives, and Families for Peace. What's a good example of this is how associates can really get plugged in?
Well, I'd like to talk about Project Irene. That's a group of, we have one person who tells us about what's going on in the Illinois, it's only for Illinois, the Illinois legislature mm-hmm. around women and children issues. And so that person alerts the religious communities in the state of Illinois, and then our contact person tells us call your legislator, tell them yes or tell her no, mm-hmm. you know, what our concerns are with women and children. And our associates here in Illinois get that same message, that same email. And then they get involved through good. That email.
So they become good advocates for those causes.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're in, the order is in 11 states and 12 dioceses. Within how many provinces? Tell us about how...
We are only one province. We are a congregation. So, and when we broke from the other community, our sisters were all up and down the Mississippi. And so because of the situation and the timing of the situation, we negotiated with Cardinal Cody that the places where most of the women who were there, the sisters who were there, were going to be with the new community, that would remain with us, and places where the other sisters were going to stay, they stayed. So that's how we got spread the way we are. We've spread a little bit further, I think, even from the website. We're in Texas and in Florida right now. We're in South Dakota and mm-hmm. all around. And so we focus where we are on our mission and bringing that living word to those places.
Sister Barbara Mass is a member of the Sisters mm-hmm. of the Living Word. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about holiday trees and Christmas trees. We'll take you to a toy parade where Chicago firefighters and paramedics brought hundreds of bicycles to Catholic Charities. And we'll show you why many people think Father Augustus Tolton, the first American diocesan priest of African descent, should be canonized.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back, 9:53 in the morning. Sister Barbara Mass, a member of the Sisters of the Living Word, is with us, a high school teacher for a number of years.
Right.
And I made the comment that that's got to be one of the more challenging times of one's life to teach, but you thoroughly enjoyed it.
I loved it. I loved teaching high school kids, yes.
And you've taught single-sex and co-ed.
Co-ed,
both. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine both came with different dimensions and challenges,
right.
And
right.
So you're to be commended for that alone, for surviving that. So tell us about your own vocation, how you really embraced God's call to be a member of the Sisters of the Living Word.
Well, I grew up at St. Martha's in Morton Grove, and I was taught by the Sisters of Christian Charity, and they were just wonderful women, and really impressed me with their life and the way they brought joy to the classroom.
Now, those are the same sisters that ran Mallinckrodt College,
correct.
Right, up in Wilmette for
correct.
A while. Right?
Correct, okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. And I attended, they had a high school there, a day high school, when I was at the high school age, so I went to high school with them, and then entered religious life after that. And they were a very wonderful group of women, very supportive, very engaging, and it was a very good experience for me.
When you had this terrific experience, what about friends of yours? Did anyone else come along with you on this journey, or what kinds of questions and reactions did you get at the time from friends of yours?
When I was 18, a lot of the my girlfriends kind of knew who I was and kind of knew that was probably where I was headed. I had been dating a guy for a year and a half at that point in time, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know about this, you know." But he said, when I told him, he said, "Well," he said, "I'll give you a year and a half, and if you're not back in a year and a half," he said, "I'll know you'll stay, so I'll find somebody else."
And the other part of the call is family, and we talked about it with Father Stephen last time. Tell us about yours.
My family was very supportive, and I think that was very important to me. That when I said this is what I want to do, they were, "That's good. That's a good thing for you to try to see I think that's very important. I think we didn't talk about it, but I think now in families it's really important to talk about it, that it is an option to look at religious life, priesthood. Because if we don't encourage kids to at least look at it, to think about it, it's not part of the many options that young men and women have now.
Yeah, and the challenge, of course, is that as the number of men and women religious is on the decrease, there's less of those magical moments, if you will, to run into a priest or a brother or a sister who really becomes an influential mentor for a young person. Mm-hmm. Looking into your crystal ball, Sisters of the Living Word, in addition to the strategic planning and the work that's going on in really looking at the assessment of your congregation, the number of women religious who will be retiring over the next 5, 10, 15 years, what else is ahead for the Sisters of the Living Word?
Well, we really want to be mission-oriented, and to keep that in front of us, that what we're about is sharing that living word and helping other people find that living word in their own lives. And I think when I talk to sisters who are beginning ministries or they're out there doing their present ministry, it's always that we're bringing the word there. We're bringing the mission there. We're somehow sharing what we have been given with others.
Before we leave, a website and a telephone number for anyone who may want additional information on the Sisters of the Living Word.
Okay, our website is www.slw.org.
That's easy, slw.org.
That's right, and our phone number is 847-577-5972.
847-577-5972. A terrific website, because it not only talks about the charism and mission of the sisters, but asks questions like, what is God calling you, becoming a member, becoming an associate, prayer intentions, opportunities to donate, upcoming events, et cetera, so you're a busy group.
We are.
And thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this morning, Sister Barbara Mass, a member of the Sisters of Living Word. The second collection this weekend at all the Masses is called the National Religious Retirement Office Fund. Your generosity will be most appreciated, so please be generous. Special thanks this morning to Jim Dish, our engineer, and Diane Dunnigan, our producer. I'm Wayne Majars, and thanks for listening this morning. God bless. Have a terrific weekend. And this has been Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll see you on Monday.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.